We have the classical instance of a vocation story in the call here of Elisha. You see, the one to be called is engaged in their occupation or their preoccupation, and the caller comes and calls them. And that's exactly what we have here, right? Elijah set out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing with the 12 yokes of oxen. He was following the 12. Elijah went over him and threw his cloak over him, which is a certain sign of not ownership, but of, you know, belonging. And and so he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me go and say goodbye to my mother and father. This is so Semitic. What have I done to you? Oh, you just threw your cloak over me and claimed me for your disciple. That's what you just did." So, now, if you look at the classic call of the first apostles, they're all at their fishing. And Jesus comes along and says, "Follow me." To drop everything and follow him. So you see, that's us. When we finally take our Christian life seriously, that's a call. And that call is, everything else is secondary. So we leave our oxen, or our fishing boat, or whatever. Jerome, who can be kind of caustic and so on. You know, when Peter says, "Lord, behold, we've left everything and followed you," right? And Jerome says, "Hey, Peter, get real. What did you have but one lousy little fishing boat anyway?" You know what I mean? Like, but he left it. He left everything. And he followed Jesus. And that's why that's the model for vocation. For us too. Drop everything and follow Jesus. In whatever state of life is yours, whatever the Lord called, but that being with Jesus is the most important thing. Then the gospel. Don't take any false oaths. "I swear by whatever." He said, "Don't do that. Just tell truth." And then you don't need to back it up. In certain cultures, this is very exaggerated. Oh, in Semitic cultures, "I swear by my dead father's grave. I swear by..." You don't need that. Just tell the truth. And certain people get to know you as a person of truth. You see? Then that's why, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. That means you so love the truth that you're not trying to figure out how to navigate what's ever best for yourself. Now, we're going to bless these icons. The word icon means image. And it's used of Jesus. He is the icon of the living God, it says in the New Testament. Right? There was a big, you probably heard about the iconoclast heresy. The big movement to destroy all the icons. And the church defended icons. Because you can draw a picture of God now. He became incarnate. And to do away with icons, you say, is make God more spiritual than he wants to be. He's going to feed us on his body and blood. This is God. And so, the blessing of the icon is so that it can... blessed wherever it is. and people can pray. And of course, the icon over all these years, centuries, has a certain style. It's of the earth, but it's not of the earth. You know, there's a certain spiritual quality about it. Just look at them all. You can see that. That one there is called the Odigitria, the waypointer icon. You see, she's holding Jesus and she's pointing. That's the way. Follow him. You see that? The other one is just a classic pose. And there weren't, in the olden days, there were not icons of St. Joseph. He was hidden for a couple of centuries, a couple of more centuries. But it's a way of saying, we, because of the awesome grace of the Incarnation, we can portray God in line and color. And that's what these are. Now, the first one down there, I forgot already what happened. Here it is. This is the famous icon by Rublev of the Trinity. See? There's a line. He saw three and he adored one. See? There are three of these angels, but he talks to them as though they're one. And it's just, it's mystical. You see, there's three, but there's only one. And that's Rublev's icon of the Trinity. Now, the other one is of the Presentation. We don't make much of that. But it's a moment of, you know, a great turning point in the history of the world. The Mother of God, totally given over to the will of God, the Presentation. Her parents brought her to be presented in the temple. Now, there are apocryphal gospels elaborating on that. They're not trying to write tape recorder, movie camera history. They're trying to convey the totality of the way our Lord belonged to God. I mean, our Lady belonged to God. And so that's what this one is. Did you bring me out the Holy? You did. Okay. So let us stand and pray.